there, and welcome to the One of Swords podcast. This is show number 52 for the third week of January. I am Dan Amrick. I'm your host, and I'm the guy that runs oneofswords.com, where you, whether you know it or not, you kind of downloaded this podcast indirectly or directly. I am welcoming as my co-host this week the one, the only, the talented, the lovely, the inventor of headshot miss. It's Katrin Auk. Hi, Kat.
Hello, how are you?
I'm okay. You've been very busy.
I have been very busy this week. I have, and it's only just begun. Since after the move we got in, we had gotten a storage space for the move, just to get some stuff out, and we weren't sure how much we could fit into the apartment, but we have in fact managed to now clean out the storage space. There's just like two things left in there that I'm going to pick up tomorrow.
What is left in there?
The photo paper that I am giving away to somebody who's going to pick it up at 1 o'clock tomorrow.
Right.
And it's seamless backdrop paper, if anyone cares. And a bunch of empty containers.
Wow.
I know. Our storage space has empty containers in it.
That's kind of funny. But I mean, when we moved in here, I was like, oh, there's so much space. And I said, you know, of course, we'll have offsite storage. And somebody at work, my boss actually said, what, you've got this, like, the world's largest apartment and you still need offsite space? And I'm like, well, I think so.
Well, we have a lot of stuff.
We have a lot of stuff. We have a lot less stuff than we did. When I think about how much stuff we had when we moved the first time.
Which first time? From
San Mateo.
Oh, okay.
San Mateo to Castro Valley in
the Bay
Area.
That's the second time we moved, by the way.
Oh, wait. Well,
we moved to California from Brooklyn.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay, not that. No, first inter-California move. I'm, like, embarrassed at how much stuff we had. You know, like, there was just no way we were ever going to use it all.
We actually, I think, had more stuff when we moved from Castro Valley back to San Mateo.
Yeah, well, that's because we had been working at GamePro for even longer at that point. And being addicted to toys was just part of working at GamePro. When the senior VP is a toy hoarder of, well, he wasn't a hoarder because Hugh and I talked about this last week when we did letters. Francis very much believed in taking all the toys out. Toys were to be enjoyed, toys were to be played with, take them out of the packages.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that because, honestly, you are never going to see those prices. There was like the 80s, the early 90s, there was all these...
Speculators.
Yeah, we've got these things that we found and they're in mint in box and they're very, very valuable. That's not going to happen again.
It's exactly what Hugh said last week. He's like, somebody wrote in and said they had some Episode One action figures. And they were, you know, they thought they were going to be really rare. He's like, dude, I bought three of those last week for $5.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Hell, even my action figure is not worth that much.
That's true. Funny you mention. For people that don't know, Kat and I both have our own action figures from the GamePro days. Mine was Dan Electro and hers was Misspell. And in the move, we have unearthed a stash of Misspell action figures.
Yes.
I will
mint
be giving
in box.
Mint in box, mint in original shipping crate from China.
You can get Chinese air.
I have a selection of these that I will be giving away on the podcast at some point. I have two problems. One, I don't have a box big enough to ship each of them, and I want to give them away in some very special way because they are what they are. What they are is worth something if you know who Kat is.
and I'll sign them if somebody wants them signed. Oh, I'll sign them.
I don't believe anybody asked for that, little Miss Egotist, okay?
Oh, wow. That was supposed to be a nice thing, not a mean thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, well, Kat will sign them.
What was funny is when we did it, we actually put our phone number on a few bases so we could, you know,
they made 2,500 of these figures, and 100 of them... the GamePro editor that was that character signed the base and numbered it by hand. But then number one in all of those had that person's phone number at GamePro on it. So the idea was if you were the person that found that one and you bought it, you would call us and we would talk to you and we would send you some more stuff. And it was going to be like this fun little surprise. I found number 71 of my 100s. Now, remember, there's only we hand-signed 100 of them, and there's only 2,500 in existence anyway, and I found mine for $3 in a GameStop bargain bin, so, like one of the signed ones. And yes, I bought it. I mean, who else? Clearly no one else was going to. It was beat to crap. It's, you know, but I, that's one of the ones, one of the few that I still have new in the package, although it's, you know, it's funnier because it's got a clearance sticker from GameStop on it. But yeah, we will, I'll find a way to get these action figures of my wife out to, it's just weirder when I think about it that way. That doesn't matter though. Do you want to tackle the only stuff that matters this week?
Sounds good.
From the harbor of Seattle to the Bay of Chesapeake, it's the only stuff that matters this week.
The only stuff that matters this week is, of course, our lame attempt at news, because not everything that is news matters, you see. I mean, this phrase came to me.
Not everything that matters is news.
Well, that's very true. Ryan McCaffrey used to just rail against the fact that we have released our box art, and that would be considered a news item. And, you know, so when I was doing the setup for this show, I was thinking, what matters? It's not necessarily the news. It's what matters this week. So that one's for Ryan. I don't know if Ryan knows that that's why I called it up. Because he would go, box art, who cares? You know, and he would just go into this mock rage about it. And I'm like, you know, he's
it
right.
It may not be mock. I met Ryan. It may not be mock.
Well, that's true. All right. So you want to tell us what's going on lately?
Okay. Well, what is going on this week is... Call of Duty Black Ops has announced First Strike DLC, which
right.
The video trailer is up this week.
Ah, that's what's new.
Yep. And it features, there's five maps in the pack, and the maps are Kowloon, Stadium, Berlin Wall, Discovery, and a zombie map that they did not show.
Yeah, I wonder if they're saving that for its own reveal or a special zombie presentation. Yeah, I don't know.
So, but the DLC will be available for February 1st for 1,200 Microsoft points on the 360 first. And
oh, Kat, I have a question.
Yes.
When will it be out on PS3 and PC?
I have no idea.
Wow, you sound like me.
Yeah. It will come to those who wait.
It will come to those platforms. It is definitely planned to come to those platforms.
Yes.
I watched the video this morning, and Kowloon is... not the same thing from the single-player campaign, but it is based on the single-player campaign.
Mm.
So it's going to have the same assets, but it is created from the ground up for multiplayer. It's not like
it's not the same street plan or anything like that?
No. Yeah,
okay,
they didn't just... Sometimes, you know, you've seen that in other games where they just take a slice of the single-player level, and, you know, gamers don't like that, and they know that gamers don't like that, so they didn't even try it. Discovery is a snow map. I believe it's a Russian military base. Berlin Wall is an enormous map, which is just what you think it is, and so it's gonna be, it's described as
what
really good.
What time period is that from? Is that when
it's after
still
the fall?
Oh, after the fall. Okay,
it's after the fall. So there's big. Well, you know, maybe not. I don't know. In this version of the map, there's big chunks out of the wall. So maybe this is an alternate, you know, an alternate past or an alternate history or something. But. It's a big sniper map, and I think it's going to be good for, like, ground war and large team games.
Oh, cool.
But the one I'm really looking forward to is Stadium, because I like smaller maps. I love Nuketown. I love Firing Range. I like the small type maps.
You don't get lost as much in them. I get lost in everything.
Yeah, I would rather die a lot than not interact.
Mm.
Like, you know, I'd rather feel pain than nothing at all.
how emo of you.
Yeah, thank you. I don't just cut the podcast together, you know. But Stadium is what it sounds like. You're running through a sports arena. So I think
that's very cool.
Yeah. So I'm kind of looking forward to all those. And yeah, I am.
What sport?
Sports. You know, sports.
Okay.
Honey, it's me. You're married to me. I can't tell them apart. Hockey ball?
I can tell. I am not
basket
a sports,
tennis or something?
I am not a sports person. I can tell the difference between a football arena and a baseball arena.
But they use some of them for both.
True, but you know, it's painted for one or the other usually.
Well, yeah, but that's just that's chalk.
Maybe it's
on the
hockey.
Grass. Hey, what else is going on this week?
Okay, they've announced that Beenox is the primary developer for Spider-Man games, but they didn't announce any new games. But Beenox will make those games that we have not yet announced.
So the unannounced games that we can neither confirm nor deny nor tell you anything about, they
will
don't
be made
exist,
by Beenox.
But if and when they do exist, whatever it is, they're going to be made by Beenox.
Yes.
The only thing we know for certain is that that means that Thomas Wilson will probably be back on the podcast.
Oh, and I love Thomas. He's great. He's a great sport, too.
Yeah. I know a lot of people have said, oh, well, you know, there's probably going to be a Spider-Man game for the movie. All I can say is probably, because there always has been. Nothing's been announced. I don't know if they're doing that as the next game. I don't know if they're doing another game as the next game.
I'm trying to think of who they announced. They announced the actual Spider-Man for the new movie, and I can't even think of who it is.
I can't either.
Probably somebody I don't know.
No, isn't it the guy from The Social Network?
Oh, maybe. Not the lead guy, but the guy
Eduardo.
Who was... Yeah.
Yeah,
he's good. And British. What the hell knew?
Oh, well, I don't know. Okay, well, that's good. Thanks to congrats to Beanox. Not thanks to Beanox, but congratulations. Obviously, that's based on the effort that they put into Shattered Dimensions.
And they so loved Shattered Dimensions. They loved Spider-Man. You could just tell that they were so in behind that.
They really did. They committed.
Okay, next, the NASCAR The Game 2011 releases at the end of March, not February, as was previously announced.
Would you say that was delayed?
I would say that was delayed at least a month.
You know, nobody used the word delay in any of the official stuff.
It's
it was
just
like
releasing.
Rescheduled.
You know.
Or something. So I've been trying, I was just like, you know, it is a drag when you hear NASCAR delayed because you think, oh, there's something wrong with it.
Yeah.
You know?
But the team says they just need some more time, and, you know, you only get to release it once.
Yeah. Now, there was a phrase that I saw on the wall when I visited 3DO back in the day to go see the game Blade Force, if anybody remembers that one, which you probably don't and shouldn't. But it said, a late game is only late until it ships. A bad game is bad for the rest of your life. I have since... this quote has now been... credited to Shigeru Miyamoto.
Oh, really?
Now, I don't know. Maybe it always was and they bastardized it, but the quote version from Shigeru Miyamoto is, a delayed game is eventually good. A bad game is always bad, or something like that. So
I would disagree with that quote just simply because I've known games that have come out late that...
Well,
you know.
If you... Yeah, okay. But you get the spirit of it.
Yes.
I know that the team wanted, at Utechnics, they wanted to have this out for the start of the NASCAR season in February. Kat, as you well know, having been to the Daytona 500.
I was at the Daytona 500.
It's early February, mid-February.
I didn't know that was the start of the season.
But. Yeah, Daytona is the start of the season, and I forget what the end of the season is. But I'm sure I will now get an email from several NASCAR fans saying, duh. But you know
they have a lot of responsibility for making this game good because they're the people who are
the standard bearer, and NASCAR trusts them with the license. I agree with you. Like, take the time.
Yeah.
You know, take the time that you need. Make it as right as you can the first time.
Yeah.
And you'll save everybody a lot of hassle.
And then maybe you can make another one.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the interesting thing is that if they make another one, will they make it with Activision?
Well, it'll depend on how everything goes. You know.
Yeah. It's an interesting the developer having the license is really I
dynamic.
Really like that. It's like the girl asking the guy to the prom. You know, I like that the balance of power has shifted, but other than that, you can still have a really nice time together as long as you don't get freaked out by the fact that, you know, the standards have changed, you know, but I like that it puts publishers on their toes a little bit and really puts even more investment in the developer. The developer doesn't have to worry that all the work and all the energy that they pour into something. It's the same thing with Beanox. I'm glad to see that they're going to be trusted with Spider-Man because they put all that effort into it and they acquired all this knowledge. The analogy I made on the website on oneofswords.com was...
in case you're not paying attention.
Yeah. It's like when you're a developer on a licensed property... You build a vocabulary, or even if it's your own original IP. I mean, there's a vocabulary to Gears of War. If you like what they said, don't you want to give them the opportunity to say something else with that same vocabulary? And that's what this kind of rewards. So, you know, giving the developer the license or entrusting a developer with a license long term and saying, you guys just focus on making the best Spider-Man thing that you can do. You focus on making the best NASCAR thing. You will be more aware of the details if you know that is your focus. You will not be afraid to go deep and sweat the small stuff. But if you think like, well, you know, tomorrow I could be on a Shrek game, you know, then that's sort of like, well, let's just ship this one out the door.
Yeah.
I like the emotional...
connection.
Flow, the emotional permanence that's there, because I think the developer is going to get more into
you see the same thing with High Man, High Man, High Moon Studios and Transformers. They,
yeah, they
the
really
want
to do another Transformers game. Yeah,
there was incredible. It was, and the knowledge was so deep. So that was, that's great. I love, I like that.
Well, they, we don't know what they're working on
yet. Well, I know we don't, but I'm just saying, I could see them. I know they want to do.
Yeah, they want to do
another
game
if they're able to do it. But I was just saying that commitment that the studios sometimes have and the connection that they have to a license is really beautiful sometimes.
Yeah. And last but not least, I see one more thing on your list here.
Yes. Oh, actually, there's two more things on my list.
Oh, because so, I looked ahead. Sorry. Yes.
So Freestyle Games has a new website and is giving away customized DJ Hero turntables. The new website is freestylegames.com.
So it's the same old URL.
Same old URL, but new design.
New site.
And, you know, to celebrate their new design, they're giving you special prizes.
Yeah. So
and
there's,
you can find out at oneofswords.com. You have the details as well.
I do. Yes. You can go to either website and get it. But the short version is that one of their part of their art team has designed, is customizing turntables, one for each platform. Wii,
oh,
PS3,
cool.
and 360. So whatever you have, there's one prize that you would want, you know, that you could actually use. So I haven't seen them. I don't know if they're customizing them. I think he's designing them now, but maybe he'll design it for the person. I don't know. But go. The interesting thing is that you have to answer a trivia question about Freestyle Games, and the answer
is
you will find on my website.
Oh, on your website.
Yeah, so it's actually worth going and looking for Freestyle Games or DJ Hero News. Just click on DJ Hero on the right, and I've got all the list, all the news I've done. And
interesting.
Yeah. I will say that you can find the answer in a video that Kat shot.
Ooh.
Yeah. So Kat's really for you guys.
Yeah,
now it's
a, is it Jamie talking in an American accent? Because
it,
that's
well,
funny.
It involves Jamie talking. but more than that, I will not say.
All right. And finally, GOG is now selling Police Quest 1 through 4 for $10. Is that $10
that's
for all
$9.99 for all four games.
For all four games. Okay, that I just didn't know if it was $10 each. And the Zork Anthology, six games for $6.
Now, I didn't know this was coming ahead of time. again, you know, when things happen at GOG, I have a friend over there, and he let me know, like, they started a little teaser campaign with police crime scene tape on their website, and they wouldn't say what it was. So a lot of people guessed that it might be Police Quest, including friend of the show, Patrick McCarran. He said, oh, I bet you it's Police Quest. Do you know? And I'm like, I actually don't know. And then I got an email. He goes, yeah, it's Police Quest. Also, we're doing Zork. And I'm like, what?
Dan, huge Zork fan.
Now, last year, when GOG and Activision, when GOG started posting old Activision and Sierra titles, I made up a wish list. Mm-hmm. And I put Police Quest on that wish list.
Okay.
And I put Zork and Text Adventures, like some sort of Infocom collection. I found out that the Zork Anthology specifically was a CD that Activision did issue once upon a time.
Don't you have that CD?
No. That's the funny thing. No. I have three other versions of every Infocom game
I
ever
know
made.
You have like a bin full of Activision and Infocom games.
This was, this is Zork 1, 2, and 3, Zork 0, I believe it's Beyond Zork, and then Planetfall, which is not a Zork game.
Oh, wow.
But that's how they packaged them before. The Zork Anthology, five big Zork games plus Planetfall as a bonus. So they're just giving you that same thing and running it through an emulator. So,
okay.
So
you'll be getting that, I take it.
Well, I already have them all. I already have them from previous reissues. But the stupid thing is those previous reissues sell for literally $100. Ken Jennings, okay, the Jeopardy champion, the guy that won more money on, yeah, he was so into this that he wound up like, he admitted on his blog that he stooped to piracy to get these games again. And when I read that, I'm like, there's something wrong. Like,
yeah.
Activision's got to reissue these. So I'm really hoping that, you know, Zork is free to play in Black Ops if you want to.
I was going
to
say, yeah. That's...
You know, if you want to play it in the game, you can do that. And I've got a link on how to do that on in the same story.
I don't think that actually made the video footage, but...
No, it didn't. And I tell the story of why on the podcast, on the website, rather.
Yeah, but that was a great moment when Dan tried to get Mark Lamia to answer the Zork question. Well,
we didn't use the question at all.
We didn't use the question, but no, we asked him the question. And that moment where Mark just lost it.
So here's the... I wasn't going to tell the story, but I think we've gone too far. Now we have to. The story is that when I did the stupid questions interview at E3, I asked everybody, all the developers and publishers and producers that I could find, I asked them silly questions. One of them was simply restating the opening to Zork. You are standing in front of a small white house. There is a mailbox here. Obvious exits are north and east or whatever it is. What do you do? And nobody, I just wanted to see if they recognized that it was from Zork. Nobody did except for Mark.
And Mark just like,
and Mark
died.
Was like, oh my God, Zork. Yeah, fantastic. And you know, if you play Black Ops this fall, there's going to be like a nice surprise there for fans of the old Zork. And then a couple of hours later, it was like, Mark doesn't want
Mark
you to
doesn't
use
want to
that.
Announce that yet.
Yeah, Mark wasn't really supposed to say anything. That's supposed to be a big surprise for people. And it was, and I'm glad that it was kept a surprise until right before launch anyway.
But anyway, that's the whole story. But it was just
that's
a nice
the story,
moment.
Yeah. And but he got it, and I was like, "All right." So I'm sworn to secrecy, but at the same time, yay! Everybody's gonna know what Zork is again, you know. Like, so this is like the next step. And my dirty secret is I have never finished the original Zork. This is my opportunity. I have some news about DJ Hero 2 DLC that came out this week.
What's that, Dan?
It's the Trance Anthems Mix Pack.
Oh, I'm
now,
so into trance.
Now, I know you are. So you'll be thrilled to hear that it's Imagine by Armin van Buuren mixed with Punk by Ferry Corsten. Also, Not Over by Paul Oakenfold featuring Ryan Tedder. That's a remix by FSG. That's Freestyle Games, of course.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Their in-house DJs.
I was like, I really don't know these people. What
yes.
the hell is FSG?
And 9 p.m. Till I Come by ATB mixed with Foreign Angel by Paul van Dyk. These are 640 Microsoft points or $8 on PS3 or not bundled for whatever reason. DJ Hero tracks are single purchase on Wii and they are 300 points apiece. So,
yeah, I don't know any of the music.
Yeah, neither do I, but they said they're trance classics, trance anthems. So I believe them.
I believe them
I listened
too.
To a few of them and, you know, they were good, but I don't know anything about dance music. So,
oh. And that leads you into an interview, doesn't it?
You know, when it comes to not knowing anything about music, I'm...
I was thinking he's got a little trancey kind of stuff going on, too.
Well, not really. I still think that Yamin, our man for making the music for the show, is definitely hip-hop, although it is a little spacey, you know, here and there.
Okay.
But I realized... So, those of you who have not listened from the beginning of the show, when I started the show last year... Kat was my co-host on one show, Hugh was my co-host on another, and Yamin was actually my co-host on a third. And I was going to maybe alternate between all three hosts. Yamin was here for one show, and then I ditched him. and I've always felt bad about that, and obviously I think that his music brings a lot to the show. So I realized, you know, it's been a while since we checked up with him, so I gave him a call today. And I just said, do you want to go over... I had some questions, just some things that I've always wondered about him. But sort of to do him a solid and remind people that he's one of the reasons that the show sounds the way that it does and is one of the things that I really like about it. But also find out what he's got going on in the future, find out some more about sort of his personal gaming and hip-hop background. I think you're going to be surprised. I knew half of the stories, and then to hear him tell it all, I was like, dude, I'm super impressed. I'm so happy I know you. let's go and meet Yamin again for the first time. Okay, welcoming back to the show somebody who hasn't been heard since the outtakes, actually. If you were wondering who the voice was that you didn't quite place in some of the early outtakes in show 49, that would be Yamin. He is our mix master. He's the guy that does all the music that you hear on the show, with one exception, for which I will apologize in a minute. But first of all, you know, like, say hi, Yamin.
Hey, what's up, yo?
Hey, what's,
what's
up,
going
yo?
On?
First, I guess I have to apologize for two things. One, I had said, yeah, you know, we're going to try out different co-hosts and we're going to try out different second voices on the show. And I tried out Hugh and I tried out Kat and I tried out you. And then, like, we never heard from you again.
Yeah.
I bailed on you. I was like, hey,
cool.
I got a guy from Robot Chicken. Who needs Yamin, you know?
That's all good.
But he, in my defense, he is from Philly. So, you know, that's...
Oh, Hugh, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Philly balance was kept in order.
That's right.
On the show.
And the other thing I want to apologize for is that I snuck some of my own music in on the show, and I don't think a lot of people knew it. Or if they did, you probably got complaints about it, because during the outtake show, I thought it would be funny, rather than use the music that I've been using for the rest of the shows, of just throwing in something else that was sort of cutting room floor. And I had done this funk song for some project, and it never got used. Because, you know, when you think of Dan Amrick, you think of funk.
Right.
And, and
no, without a doubt.
I threw that in and didn't tell anybody that it was mine. And then I was like, well, it's not that I care, but it's more like I didn't want you to get blamed for my crap, because it's not like anything that you would have probably made. Like, it wasn't even good funk. It was just
honestly, I took what you recorded and put my name in front of it.
Oh,
I'm making thousands of dollars on iTunes. Thank you very
much. That's fantastic. See, now I feel vindicated. Then we're even, because certainly my contribution was thousands of bucks. But that's a good point. Since, you know, I bring you up on every show, and I really appreciate the fact that you let us use your music. But are you now, you know, are you swimming in money? Do you have Kodak bucks that you can just throw away? You know, since you've been all, you know, tied up with the One of Swords empire, did you get the One of Swords bump on iTunes and e-music and stuff?
One of Swords has been good to me. You know, you posted that thread up, or that blog post up, and there was lots of commentary regarding the music, and it was great to read everybody's responses, and, you know, it's been good. I think I posted something on my website, posting back to your site,
yeah,
like we used to do back in the day online. You know, we had a links page.
That's right.
I linked back to your site, so no, it was all. You know, I really appreciate everybody listening, and thank you for, you know, the weekly exposure, or the, you know, every time you make a podcast, I appreciate it.
No, but have you been able to, like, biggie size those fries now?
Oh,
you know, as a result of all the money that's coming in from all of my listeners.
Yeah, well, I roll large regardless.
I'm sure, you know, a gentleman does not tell tales, but I get the onion rings and the fries now. Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that that I wanted to ask you that I've never actually asked you, you sent me some of your stuff. I've got two of your projects is what I use for most of the stuff. I'm using the stuff from the Yamin Never Knows Best sessions, and you have a couple of different mixes of different material that you did for that. And then I have one of your earlier projects under the title Supreme X. Mm-hmm. And you had said the stuff that you sent me was sort of like the safest to use.
Yeah.
But that's because why? Because you were using some game sound effects that you were afraid might get
right in
trouble. What? So now, obviously, my audience is going to want to track that stuff down. What was the stuff that was too dangerous for the podcast?
I think it gets a little incestuous, because when I early on in my recording career, I would sample a lot of video games. So the stuff that you play on your show is video game safe.
Right.
It doesn't contain those samples. But, you know, for anybody interested, if you go back and listen to my older stuff, there's a lot of video game samples. And, you know, some stuff I've obscured pretty well and, you know, mixed it up a little bit. But some of the stuff, you know, real early stuff, I just straight up looped that ish, you know. So it's so as I got older and more inclined with my hardware and got a grasp of what I was doing and how to make music, I stepped away from the sampling and started, you know, playing my own chords. So that's why the newer stuff from, you know, Never Knows Best is completely safe, because it doesn't sample much at all. So.
Right. Well, so that's the question, is what kind of games were you sampling? Where were you pulling your tricks from?
Okay. So check this out. On YouTube, I posted a song from Projecto 2501, which was an EP I did with Tajay from Souls of Mischief. And, at the time, 1999, we made an enhanced CD, which we thought was really a big deal, because, you know, it was enhanced CDs and Macromedia, Shockwave was hot, you know. So
right.
hidden on that CD was an MP3, and this MP3 I posted on YouTube, and it samples Toeball 2.
Wow.
So it's called Fluid Motion. If you go on YouTube and search for Fluid Motion Toeball 2, I even put it in the title. I'm not scared to share.
Right.
You can hear this Toeball 2, and it's one of the, I think, in my opinion, one of the best songs we did together, Tajay and I. So It's really cool. And there's a bunch of others. I don't want to see if I start naming a lot, I think I'll get calls from all kinds of people and letters rather.
Yes, C and D's, as we call them here at Activision, the cease and desist letters.
Yes. So I have to be careful, but you know, any scavenger hunters, you know, go check out my old catalog, and there's bound to be some stuff that you recognize in there.
Well, this leads to yet another question. You have more than anybody I know. you know, when I set up One of Swords, I'm like, I want people to look for One of Swords, and they will find One of Swords everywhere. You know, like anytime you see One of Swords online, you know it's me. You, every time that you did a different musical project, it seemed like you changed your name. You had a different name for like that concept. Because is that because you were approaching each of those as their own unique things, and you wanted to give them like their own space creatively?
Yes, some things early on, I was really far out with my logic, and I was like, you know, I want people to think this came out of nowhere. You know, and it just
appeared. Who's this guy?
Yeah, right. And, you know, to my detriment, I wouldn't know this until years later. I'm feeling it now because my fan base is so fragmented. But years later, to my detriment, it kind of worked against me because nobody really knew who I was because I would change my name so often. So, you know, Yameen is it now. I'm sticking with Yameen. Supreme X was pretty much reserved for stuff that I would do with Tajay.
Right.
But in between that, there's even more aliases, so it's kind of like you
really
have.
What are they? I mean, like, if people want to go and dig through and go, oh, this is all the same guy but in different headspace. There's Yameen, there's Supreme X, which is Supreme EX, right?
Right.
And then there's a
group I did some real early stuff with. We were called Big Brother Revolution, BBR.
I didn't even know about that one.
Yeah, we put out vinyl, too. And actually, over the weekend, I was transferring. I've been noticing like a lot of my CDRs from 10 years ago have been failing.
Right.
So I've been moving a lot of my old CDRs over to a hard drive. And in doing this, I discovered a bunch of old files. And I found like a lot of the early BBR stuff from 97, 98. And, you know, I'm thinking about maybe professionally mastering that stuff and just giving it out for free online because there's some cool stuff. But the BBR stuff, I was Stinky, which was my nom de web.
Right. You know? That's how when I met you, you were Stinky. And I still call you Stinky. And people give me this funny look. I'm like, no, he's Yameen now. You know?
At a New Year's party, I introduced myself as Stinky, and I guess, you know, once you hit that 30-year-old threshold, people were kind of like, is that really your name back in the day? But now that I'm like 30 plus, people are kind of like, come on, dog. And, you know, my wife is like, no, that's not his name, you know.
No, so. That is not his name.
But, yeah, I mean, people still call me Stinky in the professional biz. That's what I still go by, so.
Well, you had Stinky Productions there for a little while.
Yeah.
And this is not Stinky with a Y. This is Stinky with an E.
Yeah, S-T-I-N-K-E. Stinky Productions is taking it back. That's like 1995.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, you know, we go back. And what I don't think people know about you, at least on this show, is sort of your interesting history between online culture and hip hop and digital tech, like not before you were a producer and before you were a musician in your own right, releasing stuff as you mean, you were basically like one of the first high end webmasters that I knew of, like that you were really pushing what you could do with the early web tools. And this is, again, like early 90s and stuff like that. You were the first webmaster for Hieroglyphics, right?
Right. That's right.
And now
we built that business together. So that they were on major labels and they got dropped from their major labels and information kind of stopped coming out, you know, in the traditional avenues of info at the time, which was like magazines basically, or, you know, UMTV Raps.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what was going on with these guys, and they were my favorite hip hop group at the time. So I created this website just, you know, by myself in 1995. I was 16, I think. And one of the guys, Tajay from Souls of Mischief, who I would later go on to record with, saw it at Stanford where he was going to college, and he kind of like said, why don't we make this official? And that was the beginning of our budding relationship that spanned to, I think, 2001. I stopped as the webmaster, but then continued recording music with them after that.
That's what you want to continue doing.
You know, like if you've got to give up one or the other, it's like, well, you want to come cut records with us or do you want to just be our webmaster? Like, you know what? 6 years is enough. Thank you.
Yeah. It got kind of weird because when it started, I was a fan. And then, you know, over the course of those 6 years, I wouldn't go so much as to say I became a member of the group per se.
But you were
like,
in the family.
I was in the fam, right. And, yeah. You know, I was eating dinner with their family, literally, you know, and I was, you know, I was having, you know, I was, these guys became my friends and it ceased to be, you know, just strictly a professional thing. So it was harder for me to maintain the website from a fan perspective because I was so entrenched in it. So
right.
I felt like that was a clean break. And, my friend Humane took it over from me and he handled it for a number of years after me. But yeah, I thought that was a clean break once that happened.
Now, I remember when you were pretty close with Hiro, Del the Funky Homo Sapien, which some people, they may not know him, but you know him also from the first Gorillaz album. But he's a big gamer, and you had said, like, you wouldn't believe how it, like, these guys are just into the same games that I am. And you played me an early track, I think somewhere at home, I probably still have the cassette of, like, a rough mix of Protoculture.
Right.
Where, yeah. Like, he calls out Herzog's Vi, and, I mean, like, some hardcore stuff.
Yeah. I think he was, like, calling out and name-dropping, like, Tom Kalinske and
yeah.
All kinds of stuff, yeah. Yeah.
So,
and
like,
sorry.
No. Just, yeah, like, they're gamers, too. Did you guys do a lot of gaming together as well?
Well, we started Dell's video game reviews online at hieroglyphics.com, and I guess that was, like, 97 or 98. And I would call Dell up, and he would review his favorite games that he was playing at that time, and I would record it over the phone and post it in real audio.
Real audio! Yeah!
Yeah, so, and it streamed. It was amazing. And and so I think the games that we did were like Fighters Mega Mix,
yeah.
Toeball 2.
Of course.
And there was another one, I think Toshinden 3, which were all hardcore games at the time. You know,
yeah.
He really knew his stuff. And people loved it. And, I can't really recall why we stopped. Maybe – I don't really remember. But I don't know if you'll recall, Dell did perform at the Dreamcast launch.
Yes, you and I were both at that party and didn't know we were both at that party.
That's right. Yeah,
that was hilarious.
The Giant Brain Bar.
Yeah, we had not actually met in person yet. We had only known each other online. And we had known each other online for something stupid like – 7 or 8 years at that point. And I remember they said, oh yeah, you know, the big surprise entertainment tonight is Dell. And I was like, oh wow, Stinky should be here. And then the next day I sent you an email. I was like, oh man, I was like, you know, I got to see Dell perform last night. And I was at this big Sega party and I thought of you the whole time. And I didn't know if you knew what was going on. You were like, what do you mean you were there? I was there, and like I was at that party for 2 hours and just sort of walking around going like, oh, this is cool, but I should probably get home, you know? And I felt like such an idiot when
That's funny.
Out.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that. I actually turned 21 at that party.
Oh.
That was like my 21st birthday. It was like the release of Dreamcast, booking Dell at the Sega show, and, you know, being in San Francisco for all that. It was pretty fat.
So you don't remember any of it, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I remember the aftermath. And then you know what? The next day, I saw Digital Underground live in Dolores Park.
Really?
Which I filmed, and that's on YouTube as well.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, they're like one of my favorite groups ever. So all in all, not a shabby 2 days in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Yeah. Well, what are you – musically, what are you up to now? I know that, like, the last thing that I saw from you was the – what I believe was the end of the Never Knows Best series of EPs.
Right. Yeah.
And there was an animated video for Light of Love.
Yeah, exactly.
What have you been spending your time musically on since?
So I did 2 albums in 1 year, and that took a lot out of me. I did the original Never Knows Best, and then I did the remix album.
Right.
And then I followed that up with the final EP. So I kind of had the wind taken out of me. So I chilled for a little bit. But now I'm gearing up to record some new stuff. And that's sort of what I'm doing is getting my line of sight ready and
yeah.
You know, shining my equipment and getting ready to go. But like I said, I've been scavenging, you know, in my old files and finding some really cool stuff. I actually found a song yesterday that we cut from Nuntype with Tajay on the mic.
Right.
And I had forgotten completely about it, so I'm going to post that on my site soon. So I'm interested in making new stuff, but at the same time, I'm finding a lot of really cool old stuff. So there might be like a little blend of some old and new going on for a little bit.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And if you've been just taking a year to chill, I assume that means you've been playing some games in that time.
Indeed.
What are the games that you've been spending time? And remember, all the right answers end with published by Activision. But besides that, what have you been? Have you been? Are you one of the people that got completely consumed by Red Dead Redemption?
No, I did not. I mean, I love that game. There's certain games that I would like to play, but I just can't make the commitment of time.
Minecraft is that way for me. Somebody's trying to get me to play Minecraft, and I'm like, I would lose everything. It would be like Civ 5 all over again.
I saw that they built like a 16-bit computer in Minecraft, and my mind exploded. I couldn't even grasp it. And it was like, where's Terrence McKenna? You know, it's just like... But I, you know, I'm for better or for worse, I'm kind of like an iPhone game junkie.
I believe that, and I understand that.
Yeah, Road Avenger or Road Blaster. I'm sorry, which you might recall as Road Avenger on Sega CD, the full motion video game.
Really? I do remember as a Sega CD game, but I didn't know that they were bringing it out for iPhone.
It just came out. They remastered the video. And they redid the controls where you're actually steering the wheel. It's very slick. I love this game anyway. So regardless of what they did, they could have made it monochrome. I would have loved it. But
right.
You know, it looks brilliant on the iPhone. It's just and it was really well done and really well considered social sharing options, uploading your score and leaderboards and stuff. So it's really cool. For grown-up games though, like on the Xbox, I mean, I'm not even. You know, blowing smoke up your butt, but I've been playing a lot of Modern Warfare, or I'm sorry, Black Ops. Yeah.
Oh, we should party up then, because I'm not as bad as I was at Modern Warfare 2. I'm better.
I think you're like level 50 or something last time I checked, aren't you?
I'm 44. I haven't prestiged yet, because I have, you know, I've been jumping around. I'm somewhere in the 20s on... or 30s on the PS3 version, and then I've also been playing a little bit on the PC version. So I'm like level 10 there or something like that. You know, I mean, I'm just sort of hopping around. But yeah, I get my ass kicked more on 360 than I do on the other platforms. I don't know if it's just because, you know, the online network is a little bit more robust and people know that you can go there to compete. But I notice that I do better on the PS3. Like, I'll get contracts easier and stuff on PS3 than I do on 360. But, you know, I still play on all the platforms and stuff. So if you're on, are you on 360? I mean, I know you are. You used to be a dyed-in-the-wool Sony guy.
I know, man. It hurts.
Shouldn't hurt. It'd be platform agnostic. Let the fun flow.
Yeah, I'm over that. I was really like, I used to be like, I'm never going to get Xbox 360. I'm over that, you know. Now it just hurts because... I know this might offend a lot of your listeners or maybe half of your listeners, but Sony to me has just been like Mr. Me Too all generation and hasn't really added anything in my opinion. And it just hurts me to see them like that because they used to be so forward thinking and brilliant. And I think if anything, that's where my pain lies is seeing what Sony has sort of become. You know.
Well, to be fair, a lot of people say exactly that same thing about Activision. I hear it all the time. You guys, you just remake the same Call of Duty over and over again, and look at what you did to Guitar Hero. So, you know, I think whatever your strong early game experiences are, you can never really shake the nostalgia, and you wind up putting them on a platform regardless, and you hate to see them change at all or become anything, or you know, you have such high standards for them after that,
right?
That, you know, I mean, like, hell, I think Atari, there's nothing better than Atari, you know,
right,
except
right.
Atari hasn't been Atari for years, and it was really hard for me to see Atari change the way that it did and then get, you know, just bought out and people just buying the names and the library and stuff. I'd like to think that, you know, Sony, you know, the numbers on PS3 are, there was a huge gap between 360 and PS3 for a while, but they've closed the gap significantly. So I'm kind of hoping that, you know, now that they're on a more even footing and they seem committed to the long term, on PS3. One of the guys from Microsoft, I think they said, how long is the life cycle on Xbox 360 going to be? They said one day longer than the PS3.
That's funny.
So if those companies are dedicated to keeping that hardware going, then I'd like to think there's still room for innovation within. Obviously, I think Kinect is a really good example of how you can change everything without changing the core box. You know, like, it's still a 360. You know, it doesn't hurt. You don't have to buy brand new hardware. But if you want to buy add-on hardware, then it works. You know, and you know, PlayStation Move is that way. But I have not found a compelling reason to pick up Move yet myself. And I feel bad about it.
To be honest, the two games that I'm most looking forward to this year is Journey on PS3.
Right. Yeah, and that's true.
And the next Shadow of the Colossus, what's it called? Last Guardian.
Right.
So, I mean, those are literally the two top games I'm looking forward to, aside from maybe, you know, Marvel vs. Capcom 3, which I'll get on 360. But
right. That's where my fight stick is, so that's where I'm going to play my fighting games, you know.
Me too.
But, so, yeah, I mean, you never know. I'm really glad to see that the console wars, as much as I hate to even use that phrase, that the console race is no longer a sprint, it's a marathon. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of hoping that, you know, although you might have a little trouble during this period or that period, or it might not look like, you know, one company knows what they're doing the way that they used to know, you know, you never know. Winds of change, you know. So
what's Trip Hawkins doing? I would love to hire that guy just to hire him.
Yeah.
Like, Trip, what's on your mind? You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
Let's figure something out. Let's do something together. I would love to pick that guy's brain.
I'm not sure what Trip Hawkins is doing. For the younger listeners who might not know, Trip Hawkins was at EA during the glory years of the 16-bit era and then left to form 3DO. And then after that, I don't know if he's doing consulting or if he's doing tech VC stuff or what. Or maybe he's just chilling, you know, like on a big bag of EA money. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. I mean, like, I'm sorry. If I ever strike it rich, I'm not going to try to go for it. Like, these laurels are made for resting. You know, like, I don't think I would want to keep fighting the good fight in the workplace. I'd be like, check, please.
You can't keep a guy like Trip Hawkins stationary, though. That guy's always got to be doing something.
Maybe he's planning a big comeback in games. Or maybe he's, like, ridiculously successful in, like, the mobile space or something like that, which we would not know. You know,
right.
Maybe he's been making broadband routers for the third world or something.
Yeah.
Know. So, well, cool. Thank you for catching up. I appreciate it. Thanks for the time. I'm sorry that I dropped you like a bad friend.
It's all good. It's all
you
good.
You know, it's like, I don't like Stinky anymore. It was never that. It's just like I was trying to find my way on the show, and the show's still going through changes. I've been thinking I have some new ideas that I want to try out in the coming year. So who knows? Who knows who's going to get bumped? Who knows who's going to get yameened next?
Yeah, that's funny.
But obviously, if people want to go, I mean, I say it every time anyway, but it means more when it comes from you. If they want to check out what you're up to now, you've got a blog and you've got portals to all your e-stores, and where do they go to get that?
Go to yameenmusic.com, Y-A-M-E-E-N, Yameen.
All right, cool.
Yep.
Thanks, dude. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Good
no,
to
thank
talk
you.
To you again.
Yeah, you too.
And we'll see you. I'm really curious to see what you're up to this year. So,
thanks.
You know, I'll maybe we can sneak a track or two, or if you release some of the older stuff, I'd love to give it some exposure on the show. You know.
Okay, no problem.
All right, dude. Thanks, man.
All right, man. Thank you.
Free stuff. Free stuff. Free stuff.
It's time once again to play Back of the Box Marketing Copy Hero here on Free Stuff. This is where I read you the back of the box and you tell me what game it's from. There's always some pithy little marketing phrase that gets you all jazzed about spending 60 bucks. And obviously, amazingly, no Pulitzers have been won for Back of the Box Marketing Copy yet. I don't know why. Last week was one that a lot of people got. Kat, you want to do a dramatic reading
sure.
of last week's phrase?
Prepare to meet your makers.
And
plural. I thought that was interesting.
Yes, plural. Who has someone who has made them but has multiple someones who has made them? That would be Wolverine. It's from X2 Wolverine's Revenge, which I believe may have been a GBA game. No, that was a console game. That's right.
So many people did get that one right. And the person who won this week said, dude, don't even try to pronounce my last name. I don't think you'll be able to get it. So therefore,
that is like laying a red cape in front of Dan.
That's right. And I just have to go. I'm stepping over your line. His gamer tag is Major Blood, except that the blood is spelled B capital I U D D.
And I thought I was bad at spelling.
Yeah, it's, you know, you got to go with what you got to go with. But our winner is from Denver, Colorado. It's Barrett Bukowskis. I'm going to guess that. If I got it wrong, doesn't
you
matter.
You don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. And he's getting free stuff anyway. He asked for a copy of Wolfenstein on 360, and I actually had one. So I sent him that. And, of course, the prerequisite, here is a copy of Guitar Hero Van Halen. That,
and Wolverine Claws?
And I did send him Wolverine Claws,
it
as a matter of fact.
Perfect for this
yep.
one.
So thank you for entering, Barrett, and I hope I didn't butcher your name too poorly or too well. No, I guess, yeah, regardless. This week we have a completely different phrase, but the same exact rules. I figured that was easier. So if you can tell me what this phrase is from, you could win next week.
Drop into the ultimate challenge.
Tell me what game that's from. Send it along with your mailing address, your phone number for FedEx delivery purposes only, your gamer tag or PSN ID or Steam ID, and, of course, you know, the right answer to freestuff@oneofswords.com. Make the subject line trivia, and I will pick somebody at random. If you tell me what you like and don't like and what kind of systems you have and don't have, I will always attempt to tailor the prize pack. I can tell you this. I have a lot of Guitar Hero swag. A lot of Guitar Hero swag. I also still have some very nice and very collectible PC games. So if you are a fan of either one, let me know. To be honest, most people have been asking for 360 games, and I'm running out of 360 games. Because I do try to be nice, as nice as I can. So you're all getting Guitar Hero Van Halen on whatever platform. Doesn't matter to me, because I got a stack of them. But beyond that, just let me know what you're into, and I will try to accommodate. And please include your T-shirt size. I have some really cool T-shirts from various different games. So even if I can't get you the game, I may be able to get you the T-shirt related to that game. But you got to tell me what size you are. I've got Guitar Hero. I've got Tony Hawk. I've got some Singularity. I've got Spider-Man. Tons of stuff. So let me know what you like, and hopefully I can accommodate. And maybe you'll win next week.
They really aren't.
Thanks very much, Mr. Connor.
Come on, fish! Suck it in, Shorty!
Yes, sir!
What's that?
Yes, sir!
Fish, fish!
If you've got the guts, we've got the game. Chopper Command by Activision for the Atari Video Computer System.
Command firing! Give it to him! Look out! Oh, what's that? What's your radar? Retreat!
Oh! You've got the guts!
Yes, sir!
Well, get your own game. Chopper Command by Activision.
Good. That is it.
And so, the end of another show. Cat, we are going to probably be sorting a bunch of crap now that all the crap is back in our house.
Yes.
What else do you want to plug?
I actually was going to plug what we had for dinner because it is so damn good.
Wow.
Yes.
All right.
So if you are lucky enough to have a Trader Joe's somewhere near you, I would go there and get their four cheese macaroni and cheese.
I would go there.
No, there. I don't love everything at Trader Joe's, and you know, but it is an awesome. It does have a lot of awesome things, and this frozen macaroni and cheese is superb. And we actually make it a five cheese macaroni and cheese with a little bit of feta in it too.
Because Kat does not eat anything that does not have feta
on
it.
This is pretty much true.
This is almost the truth.
But it is. It is easy, and it is 6 minutes in the microwave and dinner's on the table. I can't beat that.
Yeah, I said, I'm going to go get set up for the podcast, and she's like, okay, I'm going to make dinner. I'm like, oh, thanks. And I didn't even get the laptop out of my bag when she said, dinner's ready. I'm like, okay, fine with me.
It is very tasty.
It's really creamy. It's got just the right amount of blend of cheeses, so it's got some sharp flavor to it, even without the feta. But feta does make everything better.
Yes. It's like bacon. Feta and bacon. And actually, bacon makes it superb.
We did throw some crumbled turkey bacon into it once, and we were like, oh, my God.
So it's quite good.
So Trader Joe's frozen four-cheese macaroni and cheese.
That is what I'm plugging.
Maybe the most specific plug you've ever done.
I know.
I would like to plug two things, one self-serving and one serving Jim Sterling, of all people. Jim Sterling is a caustic blogger for Destructoid. He loves to go out of his way to show how evil Activision is. He likes to say lots of nasty things. I actually took him to task for this when we were on a podcast together, our first meeting. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're the guy that likes to spread misinformation about Activision. It's quite a way to start.
Yeah, that's not your best public relations move there, Dan.
No, but he was like, oh, you're from that evil company. I'm like, all right, it's on. But, you know, sometimes you can see eye to eye on things. And last week, Jim posted an editorial called We the Spoiled Gamers. And I really recommend this as reading for everyone. If you just search for that title on Google, you'll find it. I linked to it from my site. He didn't even do it at Destructoid. He did it for GameFront.com, I believe. Wherein he basically, you know, for the new year, I posted some resolutions that I thought gamer behavior in general, you know, we should be more appreciative and we should not overreact to things and we should realize that games are made by human beings and therefore they're going to have flaws and even fixing those flaws are going to be flawed, you know, like it, you know, and I was taken to task for like, oh, you're just trying to suck up to your bosses. I'm like, my bosses don't tell me what to say. My bosses don't even know what I say sometimes.
I was going to say, I don't think your bosses even read your site.
But I've been saying this since 2007. You guys got to, you know, and I produced links to the critic there. I was like, but I've been talking about this long before I worked at Activision, saying, you know, you guys, we are not helping gaming if everything that we react to is an overreaction. We are all ambassadors to gaming. I tried to say it politely. Jim Sterling says it unpolitely. He says it impolitely, and he's absolutely right. Like, he just comes out and says, we are spoiled brats, and that guy's hair is too black, and that frame rate is not high enough, and I don't like this, and you ruined this guy's backstory, and I'm not going to pre-order now, and wah, 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 wah. And his way of breaking it down, and he acknowledges that he's guilty of some of this too. Oh, the
Which
Nintendo DS,
nice.
The 3DS battery is only going to last 5 hours. Wah! And he said, you know, and then I caught myself. Like, what am I doing? I'm holding a miracle, you know? And so it's worth reading it in his original caustic tone. Again, I respect Jim. I don't always agree with Jim. But I do. It's funny. After our podcast meeting, I was like, well, it's very nice to meet my nemesis. He goes, yes, I look forward to being your nemesis for some time. So it's one of those things. But I think that he nailed it this time.
You
and
know,
it's worth reading.
It's funny because I was talking to somebody this weekend and she was saying, it's like, you know, I was thinking as I was sitting down on Virgin America flying cross country answering IMs that, wow, this is really cool. And I'm like, yeah, you think about the fact that 100 years ago, you couldn't fly.
let alone talk to people wirelessly.
While you're flying and do emails and send out stuff like that. It's really like the way technology has moved forward in the last, you know, last 50 years, definitely, but specifically, you know, it just keeps getting faster and faster and faster. And we expect more.
Yeah.
But if you just sort of step back and think about the fact that, you know, when I was a kid, you didn't have cell phones.
That's the problem.
Now it becomes, you can swallow cell phones.
It becomes when I was a kid. It becomes this generational thing.
Yeah.
And I do try to, like, I often say, if my 13-year-old self could see the games that I am playing now, I would not be here today because I would die.
Well, you believed that, like, you know, a little pixels that barely resembled a car was a racing game.
Oh, so. My God. Yeah. Like, the abstraction in the games that were part of my seminal days, you know, Space Invaders? Yes, it looks like crap. But, you know, that was enough. That was enough. But every day I think that I'm holding a device that is roughly equivalent to a tricorder.
Yeah, that's true.
And I don't even use it to make phone calls.
And the funny thing
is, I play Scrabble on it.
The funny thing is, you could probably, there's probably an app out there that would make it make the tricorder
noise.
Oh,
yeah, I'm sure there is.
You just can't scan bodies with it.
Yeah, I think that I try to, not to get all ICP on everybody, but there
ICP?
Are miracles, you know, that we are surrounded, insane clown posse. We are surrounded by amazing things, and as gamers, it's very easy to take it for granted. But we have a lot of gamers don't just take it for granted; they take it for granted, and then they actively bitch about it. And it's like, I want more to take for granted, you know. So the standards have gotten so high, and yet the delivery is just below those standards, and it's still higher than we ever thought we'd get.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of putting it into perspective.
All right.
The other thing that I do want to plug is that I am doing a Playing with Swords this Friday. I'm doing two Playing with Swords. They're both DJ Hero 2, and they're both on PS3. But I get a lot of requests from people in the UK saying, you're always playing 6 o'clock at night in California, which is 2 o'clock in the morning my time, and sooner or later I do go to bed. So I'm going to do one at 6 p.m. In U.S. and California time. And I'm also going to do one at 6 p.m. UK time, Greenwich Mean Time, which is 10 a.m. in California. So I'll get into work, play, do a whole day of work, and then play again.
Yeah.
So
he's going to work, air quotes.
That's not true. I work. How often do I come home late because I'm working?
You come home late a lot, but I just assume you're playing.
No, well, I did finish Bond Bloodstone tonight before I left the office. So if you'd like to jump in, please do fire up your PS3 turntable and join me on Friday night. Information is on the website. And the website, of course, is oneofswords.com. I would plug yameenmusic.com, but there's no need because he talked for almost a half an hour.
Yeah.
God. And of course, I'm One of Swords on Xbox Live, PlayStation Network, Steam, and pretty much every social major network service thingy you can think of. Thanks for listening to Show 52. I'm Dan.
I'm Kat.
And Hugh will be probably here next week to bitch and whine about things that are awesome.
If this is Show 52, then that means that this is officially your year.
Well, I guess next show will be my year. Yeah,
well,
but
next show will be the beginning of next year, won't it?
Yeah,
52
we have
weeks in a year.
We have not missed a show. Like I've done a show every week.
Yeah,
I don't believe we skipped a week. So yeah, this is the official 1 year anniversary. But
woot! Happy anniversary, sweetie.
Oh, thank you, sweetie. Thanks for making it happen. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.